All right, we are recording. Thanks for coming on, bros. How are you?
Mate, for you, Nate, anytime, anywhere, any place, unless it was be at your house 2 weeks ago and be stuck there watching the rivers get that high that they're at the driveway when I freaked out when the river crossings were blocked and it wasn't even nowhere near to the level of what it was that time. So, mate, happy, always happy to have a chat with you, mate, and be on board with whatever you're doing.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. Like, the last 2 weeks has been a blur. And it's funny how when you have these things, it pulls you away from all the stuff you're doing, you know, just big distractions. We've been through 2 fucking years of distractions. We've been through the COVID distraction. We've been through a complete, you know, separation, dividing of society, and the mind control now lifting, the veil of secrecy is lifting. People are finally like seeing the Pfizer documents, if they want to look there, but most people are now looking at Russia. Fuck you, Russia, Russia. The next fucking stupid narrative is blame Russia for everything, you know? And
we got to talk about that.
Yeah, we are. We're going to hit that one.
Yeah,
for sure. There's a lot going on. I've got good intel from a Russian, Ukrainian, a few people on the other side of the border, and it's fucking a lot of politics. So
it's
before I start, for people out there, my name's Nate Max. I'm up here in northern New South Wales, been here for about 8 years, and live in a pretty special spot, you know, lots of river crossings and a valley and all the rest of it. And we have just had the most insane weather modification attack on this area that I've ever seen. Now, I've been following the skies and geoengineering for many, many years now. 10 years ago, it was considered a conspiracy theory. Now it's mainstream science, but they call it cloud seeding, which is basically mudding of the water of what it really is. Cloud seeding is, you know, talking about, oh, bring some rain in for the farmers and all that. You know, a few little ultralight planes go up and spray a little bit. But we're talking about what it really is, which is geoengineering, which is a worldwide, global United Nations run Vanguard, BlackRock, Rockefeller, Rothschilds run operation. It's got many facets to it. It's weather modification, so you can bring countries and cities to their knees, just like in Melbourne. You know, just like in Melbourne, the day before the big protest, there was an earthquake. They can now fire HAARP into the core of the earth. They can vibrate the tectonic plates, and they can literally create earthquakes, tsunamis. They could drop a fucking cyclone on your roof if they want to. That's how good they are now at this weather modification. Now, about a year ago, I think I was saying it to you, Thanos. I said, it's interesting, you know, up here in northern New South Wales, where we just breezed through the COVID thing because no one gives a fuck about it. No one believed in it up here. They're like, fuck off with your masks. Fuck off with your lockdowns. We don't give a shit. We're awake up here, you know? And I actually said, all right, what surprise have they got for northern New South Wales? Because they must have a surprise for us, because they can't get us with the trickery on the news because we don't watch TV. We don't have TVs. We don't watch it because it's fucking stupid. So they haven't got the whole mind control thing going on. We have our own newspapers. We have our own Facebook pages, and we go down to the community gardens, and we go down to the markets, and we talk to real humans, and we work out what's going on in the real world. I might go down there and look with my own eyes, you know? And I said, fuck, what have they got in store for us? I wonder if they're going to flood us out. I shouldn't have said that, you know. I said, I wonder if they're going to flood us out. But the reason I said
you did
was
say
because
that.
I was like, well, what? I said, what would I do? The reason why I said that is like, what would I do? Because I always think to myself, I put my evil brain on. And I've got a fucking pretty evil brain. I definitely have. I did everything illegal under the sun for fucking half my life. Like, I definitely haven't been a nice spiritual person for very long, about 10 years. And I just go, right, what would I do if I'm trying to fuck up the world, kill people off, destroy a community, wreck the economy, scare people out of the area, because everyone's moved from Sydney, from Melbourne, all over the place. They've come to northern New South Wales. The prices are going through the roof. And they're like, yes, we're going to go live in the woke capital. And I'm like, fuck, that's what I'll do. I'll flood them out and scare them back into the cities. And that's basically what's happened. We'll go into more of that later. Yeah. But give us a bit of a run, Thanos, you know. Give us a bit of a go. Have a dig.
All right. Firstly, for the people that aren't familiar with just how bad the turmoil that was created within those floods that Nate's experienced. I've been lucky and blessed enough to spend time with Nate up there, and I knew what all those roads looked like before and those river crossings. And, you know, some of them were a little bit dodgy, you know, most of the time, right? They were a little bit bumpy, but it was part of the, you know, the ambience of that area. Everything wasn't perfect. The roads was a little bit bumpy or whatever else, right? But it kept all the, what'd you say, Nate? It kept all the normies out of there because the roads were so aggressive. Right?
You can't get a Honda Civic down there.
Or Audi, for that matter, that we learned. Was it an Audi? Yeah. That's an inside joke. Me and Nate know what that's about. And to see the devastation, to see the level of devastation, I've been up there when there was rain. And we had pretty bad rain where we almost got stuck at that river crossing that day, 12 o'clock at night, but that's another story. That's nothing. Like, that completely is not even to the 10% of what I saw of the devastation and the level of water that was flowing through those rivers and how much rain you guys were subjected to. That was on another level. So can you just, because I've got a few people from my chat that have joined this as well now, Nate, give people a little bit of a rundown of what it's normally like and what those pictures meant, because it's pretty serious.
Yeah, so I'm going to post more videos on my Telegram. I've just been running generators, so we've got no power. I'll tell you where we're at right now. First, we have a mudslide down the road that's probably 300 meters wide, where millions of tons of the mountain have just slid down. A house has disappeared. Another house is gone. I'll show you what we're looking at, right?
You can share screen.
You know.
Have you got share screen? Have you got them on your computer?
No, I haven't got it on my computer, I don't think, but I can just show them in general.
Yeah.
Right? So you've got mountains, right? Fucking mountains. So imagine that mountain there, all that just fucking slid down, disappeared. Right? That's the type of level of we're talking about. Like,
huge. Monstrous. And it's never happened before. There hasn't been this stuff happened before. Now, there has been 50 and 100-year floods, which they come through, and it gets big, and it overspills, and it goes a little bit down the road and things like that. This was 10 times more than that. The rain was so hard that I could feel the pressure on the roof. You know, I actually could feel the physical pressure on the roof because it was so crazy. And I woke up in the middle of the night on the Monday or whenever it was, and I woke up on my bed, and my higher self, my intuition just went, what the fuck is going on, before I even knew. And I could feel something unnatural happening. I could feel the frequency buzzing through my house, and I woke up. And I went down to the river. Well, I couldn't even see. Windscreen wiper was fully on. I couldn't even see where I was driving. It was just phenomenal. I went down there, and as far as the eye could see, it was 50 meters, 180 meters. It was just literally raging water, 2 meters high. When usually we're talking a river that's about 5-8 meters wide. We had a river that was 50 meters wide to 80 meters, 2 meters high over the bank, running straight across down the main road. So the river usually goes around and snakes around, the road goes through it. The river's like this. The river was straight through the whole way down and washing houses down the stream and all the rest of it. So we've got landslides, three of them over the back of the mountain. We have more landslides going on. And we know where the 50-year and 100-year floods have been, because you can see, like, you can see the level and the erosion and all that. So this is like a 1,000-year flood. You know, this is basically, you can't create this with nature. You need to intensify it, which is what's happened. They've intensified it. They've brought it in. They've fired HAARP. They've vibrated the rocks. They've vibrated the tectonic plates under the ground to create the landslides. And what I believe this is, it's an attack on the northern New South Wales. It's an attack on the most woke community in Australia. All the people around here live off-grid. They don't want anything to do with the council. They don't want anything to do with the power system. They got off-grid solar. They collect their rainwater. This is not how we live up here. This is basically how we should be living, where you have a community of people that you work together, and then you fix the roads when they need fixing. you fix people's stuff when they need fixing, you work together. And what this has done in this moment, because we're trapped in here, we can't get out. We've had food being helicopter dropped in, where I've got a mate who has a helicopter and he's been doing it just for the price of fuel. So we did a big GoFundMe, which I think you shared to everybody out there who donated. That's got us fuel, food. It's got hay for the animals because it's cows that can't get across the other side. And they're running out of grass. Even little things like rabbits, one of the guys down the road. Yeah, he lost literally everything. The only thing he had left was just three rabbits. And he's like, can I just get some of this special stuff for these rabbits? Because it's all I got left, you know? Like just things like that, which keeps people going. But it's brought us all together. We have two excavators, Five River Crossings that way, and two excavators, Five River Crossings that way, and they're working their way in. We're doing it ourselves. There's no army here. There's no council here. There's no help from anyone. And we're just fixing the bridges, fixing the roads. The causeways are gone. The bridges are gone. The concrete is actually gone. There is no concrete left. There's nothing to drive over. It's literally just a giant hole that drops down 2 meters rather than 3 foot or 2 foot. It's like 2 meters deep and giant boulders all over the place. Now, when I walk down the road in the morning, I walked down, I was listening. All I could hear was this ka-dum, 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 this fucking noise. And I was like, I couldn't work out what it was. Then I realized it's giant boulders running down the riverbed, smashing down the riverbed. So my gargoyles that are out front of my house, they're gone. The letterbox is gone. The garbage bins are gone.
Not the letterbox.
When it all subsided and I looked around, I found one of the gargoyles about half a K down the road. It doesn't look too good. He's not looking the best. So insane weather. And now I'm starting to feel the agenda, Phanos, because we've got people posting going, oh, a seismologist came in and said the whole region's a ticking time bomb and all this shit and everyone needs to evacuate. It's like, oh, yeah, Agenda 2030. I get it. Get people out of the bush. Get them into the cities. We don't have phone towers here, guys. We don't have any phone towers. They tried to put phone towers up and we told them to fuck off. And so we're living out of phone reception. So we're not getting fucking raped by 5G, 4G, 3G. We're in nature. So this does not work for their transhumanist agenda of tracking chips, knowing everywhere you're going, cameras everywhere you're going. There's no technology for that out here. The technology is nature. So this area, they hate this. They hate people working together. They don't want people meditating. They don't want people growing their own food and growing their own vegetables and planting fruit trees and doing syntropic farming and being sustainable. They want you on the food in the supermarket so they can cut off the supply chain and then you're at the mercy of us. That's where we're heading and that's actually what this is about at the moment. I'm really starting to feel it. Yeah, exactly. So that's, I think, where we're at the moment, heading into that agenda of pushing us out, saying, hey, you can't live here. It's too dangerous. You need to go live in the cities. So
interesting. Interesting you bring that up because when you were explaining, when you said, I'm onto the agenda, I said, they're doing the exact same thing they did with the bushfires, displacing people off rural land and putting them in such a situation that the insurance aren't going to pay for it and they're going to have no choice but to abandon everything and just go somewhere where it's just going to be cheaper to rebuild, right? And getting people out of those rural areas and bringing them all into these main populations, the main populations. They did it with the bushfires. Now they're doing it with the floods. But I also believe the floods now are going one step further and are destroying, I mean, hundreds of thousands of hectares of land for farming. And that they're killing two birds with one stone, displacing people off rural land where they're self-sufficient and self-managed, putting them onto the system now, as in the system where everyone's relying on the government, right? So, you know, once they turn off the ATMs and, you know, they get rid of cash, everyone's basically got, they've got everyone by the balls, right? And they're doing it right now. But I believe that the floods are another level where they actually came after the farms as well. And I believe that not only fuel costs are going to go through the roof, I believe that food is going to triple. I mean, within the next 3 months, bananas, you're not going to get a banana for less than $14 a kilo. Apples, cucumbers, tomatoes, they're already at $9 a kilo down here, which is, and we're not talking organic, we're not talking heirloom, we're talking GMO, just, you know, farmed food that's done by the giant farms. No. So food's going to go through the roof and it's all part of the plan. to usher in that new mentality where, hey, we need to really start watching our live crop. We don't have enough food. But when what they've really done is systematically destroy all of our separate food sources, i.e. poultry, cattle, our farmland where we're growing actual crops, which is sustainable if they do it properly, i.e. syntropic farming and stuff like that. And what is it? Biochar, where they burn the crop and that actually, you know, revitalizes the land and all that stuff, and not using all of this Monsanto and all of these globalist brands that, you know, they've created a situation where they have no choice but to use these things. So you're bang on the money with that, Nate. And that definitely, that severe weather event that we've just experienced, it's also the beginning of ushering in fear related to climate change from devastating climatic events, i.e. rain, floods, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. You nailed it. Nailed it. Now, a few things that you said then just really kind of sparked an interest with the fertilizers, right? See, what this has done, this flooding has just pushed so much topsoil into the rivers, out in the oceans. The rivers are brown, the oceans are brown, because all that topsoil, I think it takes, I don't know if it's 50 years to create 2 inches of like topsoil, something ridiculous, right? Every inch is like some ridiculous amount of composting and leaves and years of microbes and growth, right? So it basically just washed it all down the mountain out to the ocean. The farms are destroyed. So you got avocado farms and all the rest of it wiped out, right? Now the fertilizers, okay. So this is going to tie into what's happening with Russia a little bit. So NATO and that have backed Russia into a corner, fake propaganda, all the rest of it. Basically, NATO is once again Vanguard, Rothschilds. NATO is the New World Order puppet army, okay? It's a puppet army. They pretend it's United Nations, but it's not United Nations. It's globalist puppet nations that are against freedom, secular governments like Libya, Syria, Gaddafi, Russia, all these countries that want to have their own thing and just live and do their thing. We want to fuck them up and have them part of our satanic society run by pedophiles, right? This could digress in so many different ways. So many different ways this all connects. But so they backed Russia into a corner with sanctions, right? And they've already had sanctions on Russia since the fall of the Soviet Union. They've been sanctioning the fuck out of them. They don't even have MasterCard, right? Russia has not even been able to use MasterCard for so many years. And they've done that purposely to keep the price of gas down so they can buy the gas cheaply and all these things, right? Because they don't want Russia to become a superpower. Look what happened to Germany back in the day. They became a secular government. They became a superpower in not very many years because they just, we're just going to do our own thing because what you're doing is fucking shit. So we're going to invest in our own people. Now, China and Russia are clearly going to work together, part of the BRIC nations, the BRICS nations. And China and Russia are the only people that supply this specific thing which goes in fertilizer, okay? So basically all the world is now sitting ducks because we have no fertilizer and our soil is fucked because monocrop farming has never worked. It got us through, like it got us through and it got food onto our table, but we've been consistently destroying and destroying and destroying our land and our soil and making these giant, huge rivers. Because what happens is when you have big, giant, flat land with no irrigation, no swales, no good soil, when it rains, what happens? It runs straight off, okay? So this has been going on for a long time. And it makes these small rivers larger and larger and larger, and you have these gushing rivers, which is constantly ripping out more and more soil. And that destroys like the coral reef and things like that. You've got cows shitting everywhere, which goes into the rivers, goes out the ocean, destroys the ocean. Plankton, coral, all the things that create oxygen, CO2. So it's a never-ending process when the most important thing we could do is like micro farms and syntropic farming and permaculture. Everyone in their own areas could be doing their own farming and supporting themselves, right? So this fertilizer, okay, if they put sanctions on us, which they will, they'll just go, no worries, you're not getting our fertilizer. They're predicting that 500 million people around the world will die just from us not giving that fertilizer out. 500 million worldwide because we won't be able to grow anything because our soil is fucking dead. So the government has been setting us up over time and over time and over time that we rely on these monocrops. That's why when you try and grow fruit trees in the council areas in your local suburb, they go, you can't put a fruit tree in front of your house. It's fucking dangerous of fruit flies or some retarded shit. All that fucking grass that gets mowed all the time, you can't just plant a lemon, a lime, an orange tree, and an apple tree in front of your house and then have food all year long
in Thomastown
for fucking 50 years.
In Thomastown, the northern suburbs where all the wogs have been settling here for over 30 years, mate. There's olive trees on the front lawn, lemon trees. They don't give a shit, mate. They just grow it. And when the council asks who put it there, they say, I have no bloody idea, mate.
Yeah, bro. So literally, that's the type of mentality we need to have. And that's what I was saying about the council earlier. There's no point asking for help anymore. There's no point asking for common sense anymore. There's no more of this, why doesn't the government do that? It's because the government's controlled, owned, and funded and run by these elite who want you fucking dead, okay? You have to always put in, they want you dead. Then it makes sense. Oh, why don't they bring out free energy? Because they can't then track your energy and charge you for everything you do. They don't want flying cars. They don't want you with a little free energy device and a flying car flying over to New Zealand whenever you want. They want you to get on a fucking plane. They want you to pay for the plane, pay for the fuel, pay for the tax. They want you to have a passport, and they want you to be tracked and chipped and go through all the processes to make you feel like you're a terrorist when the real terrorists are the one running the show. They don't want you having freedom. They want you on these fucking blocked up, banked up freeways all the time. Where you got peak hour morning and night, does your fucking head in. It's all about this control, slow it down, suppress and control every single facet of our life. Because what's that do? It disconnects us from God. It disconnects us from freedom. It disconnects us from our hopes and our dreams and what we want to do because we're fucking sitting there working a dead-end job we fucking hate because we're in a slavery system by design. The banking system is a slavery system by design. That's why all of your money has interest on it already. So they can never pay it back. So you're always peddling. You have to fucking pay for the piece of rock that you live on. The earth that we got given, we're sentient beings here on earth, but you have to work 50 fucking years to pay off a little slab of dirt, which you should get given to you on your birth certificate when you're born. Here is your land. You're a citizen of earth. Here is your piece of land. Now go and create. Go and do things. Go and have a family. Go plant trees.
Be prosperous.
Do everything you can to be as sustainable as you can. So we don't need to rely on you. You don't need us. That's how it should work, right? That's in a simple, moral, normal place. Anyone with any sort of brains or intellect, that's how they'd run it. But instead it's like, no, we run everything and you can all fuck off. That's kind of how it's working, you know what I mean?
100%.
Sorry, I had to mute someone.
No, I could hear kids or something in the background. I'm like, you got a kid there, mate, somewhere. So... interesting you should say that. Firstly, I'd like to touch on a couple of points you pointed out there. Number one, there's nothing about sustainable with what these people want to do, right? And I said this in a previous live just today. I said, you know what? If they really wanted sustainability, one, they would have allowed free energy devices to be available to everybody. They would have allowed, and there are, or energy devices that use like readily available things that are everywhere, i.e. like cars that run on water. That's not something that's science fiction. It's been created, and whoever created it ended up either dead or disappeared or paid off, right? Because there's no way fossil fuels are going to lose billions of dollars a year on something that they can charge $3 a liter for rather than something that falls out of the sky and can be collected with a rainwater tank, right? So firstly, let's put that to bed. Secondly, to all these people that are harping on about this whole invasion in Russia, and I don't care if I'm going to ruffle any feathers here, I'm going to say this, and you really need to think about it. I'm going to say this, and you really need to listen to what I've got to say here in terms of Russia. Why didn't Russia, if Russia really wanted to invade Ukraine, I'm going to put something to bed. The most tactical time to ever have gone to invade Ukraine would have been at the peak of the pandemic when every country locked their borders and didn't want to go anywhere because of the invisible impending doom of this, like the boogeyman, the virus. That would have been the best time for them to invade Ukraine. You know why? Because no country would have come to their aid, tactically speaking. It would have been the perfect timing. If they wanted to do it, that's when they would have done it. Not when the pandemic's pretty much over in terms of just how the veracity and the fear related to it and the fact that our governments are happy to have people come through borders and leave and go wherever they want again. So why didn't they do it then if they really wanted to do it? Think, people. They didn't do it then. Why did they wait till now? And now all of a sudden they want to go into Ukraine, and all of a sudden everyone's getting on the bandwagon and saying how bad it is. Biden, the pedophile with his pedo son, and the Clintons, who are known to be child sex traffickers, right? Where they've invested, like, had, like, the, what was it, the Pizzagate thing, where they had the emails that were deciphered by the CIA, and it was found to be talk about, you know, making transactions through pedophilia, and a hot dog meant something, and a something meant something else. You're telling me these people that are concerned about him going into Ukraine now has got nothing to do with the fact that he's actually going after something to do with the deep state? Because if he wanted to go into Ukraine, he would have done it at the peak of the pandemic, when people were too scared to leave their bloody homes, let alone travel to another place in the world and defend the country. So please, can we put that to bed right now? Tactically speaking, if he wanted to do it, the guy could have done it years ago. Why did he choose now? And why is Dan Murphy's and everyone getting up and going, we're not going to stock vodka because we don't want to make money anymore. We're supporting Ukraine, right? So there's definitely more to the story. That's all I've got to say.
Huge. Yeah, massive. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. We're talking 5D chess here, guys, too. You got to remember, on the three-dimensional level, you're seeing what's going on. You have on the two dimension, the second dimension, you have people watching the mainstream news, and once again, just buying into it. Just buying into it. Oh, fucking Russians. It's like, do you not know anything, you fucking retard? Seriously, what is wrong with you? You're the same people that went out and you fucking put a mask on your face. You went and injected yourself with the equivalent of AIDS. Okay, you went back for another one after it injured you, and all the studies and all the tests came out, and you kept going. You know, and now you're the same fucking morons that are talking about Russia. Now, unfortunately for all the unvaccinated people, we're not fit to go to war, so we can't be conscripted, and you guys are going to have to go fight this war because you want to go to war, because you hate Russia, so you might as well go with them fight, right? Absolutely ridiculous.
It's interesting.
This is the mind frame. This is the mind frame we need to unravel, right? It's the stupidity. It's the veil of Stockholm syndrome. You know, it's that fear that you see in people's eyes, the ones when you walk down the supermarket and they literally jump out of your way, like you fucking have rabies or something, you know? It's like, what is going on inside you that's making you scared of another human being because of something you watched on the news? Now, the issue is, Thanos, is that there's still people watching the mainstream news, okay? My parents get what's going on, but then they go watch the news and go tell me some stupid shit. I go, Mum, what the fuck are you watching the news for still? Why still do you even turn it on? She's like, oh, we want to know what's going on. I'm like, you're not going to learn what's going on. You're going to get programmed and conditioned into a state of fear to then at some point, because you've heard it so many times over and over again, you may possibly believe it. Then you need someone like me to come along again and fucking unwind you every 6 months to what's really happening. So this is the biggest problem. Yeah. The biggest problem on the earth right now is the mainstream news. That's the biggest problem. Without the mainstream news, there was no COVID. Okay, people got sick when everyone started getting vaccinated. They had the COVID protein spike bioweapon hidden in the flu vaccine. That's how it was released. People were getting the flu shots all around the world still, and they had the COVID stuff in the flu vaccine, which is what started it initially. And then the shedding and all the rest of it came from the bioweapon, the protein spike dropping off, getting recycled in the body, 5G. And all that. Okay, we have the evidence. Yeah, exactly. And the 5G is an activator, makes you sick. And people don't understand the whole virology thing around getting sick is you're actually getting well. Every time you get unwell, your body is detoxing, is getting rid of toxins. It's a natural process that should happen four times a year after every season. You should be detoxing different organs, lymphatic system, liver, gallbladder, kidneys, you know, glymphatic system, the one in the brain. That's the one you do last. It's the glymphatic system, you know, and most people's minds, Thanos, are actually swimming in a sea of toxic soup. So that's why they're not able to put the pieces of the puzzle together. It's not connecting. And unfortunately, that's from 40 years of bad food, 580 industrial waste contaminants in our water, mind control on the television for many, many years. And most people just believed it because why would you not? Like, you know, a lot of people they just trust the government. But unfortunately, now you have to realize it's time to not trust the government. it's time to turn the mainstream news off and start doing your own research now, because soon the agenda and the plan, because Trudeau has just released a legislation and law in Canada, which basically they have an artificial intelligence thought crime, predictive
minority predictive report.
Thought crime thing, just like Tom Cruise and the Minority Report, where if artificial intelligence thinks that you're about to do a hate crime, which is your pro-freedom, your pro-good food, your pro-trucker convoy, it will literally block you before you even do it. So if it thinks you're going to do something on the internet, it will block you before. But this has already been going for 3 years in Australia. Anyway, that's why you were deleted. That's why I've been censored for 6 years. That's why people now can't tag me on Instagram. They can't find you. It's already been happening. And it's only now people starting to lose their big followings. They're like, oh, I'm being censored. It's like, we've been getting fucking censored for about 6 or 7 years since the first Monsanto march, which I was protesting in many, many years ago. That's when it started, about 7, 8 years ago, when they blocked the whole Monsanto page. And I was like, well, we are heading down the fucking drain right now. So anyway, that legislation for me is the most frightening thing. And the mainstream news is the single most fucked up thing on the planet. And we didn't watch it. We didn't give it energy. Okay, we would be continuing on. And we wouldn't even know about what's going on in Russia. Because at the moment, Russia and Ukraine have already had their own political stuff going on. Russia has been in an 8-year proxy war with Ukraine because the globalists like George Soros, okay, overthrew the government. They funded both sides of the war and they installed a puppet government in Ukraine. And most of the people out there don't want that government in. They want to go back to being part of Russia. Okay, they want to, and the other half want to have their own part of Ukraine, but they don't want the government. So some people want to go back, but some people want to stay, but they don't want to have that fucking globalist puppet government. So Russia has gone in and they're destroying all these government and military bases. That was strategic. It was like precision the way they were doing it. There was no killing civilians and all that. You know, if people are shooting at them, they're going to get shot. That's what's going to happen if you're shooting an army. They're going to shoot you, right? But this was all strategic. It was the military bases. It was the media. It was all the places that were held by these globalist factions. Now, they're NATO or the Rothschilds and all these people, they want an army, right? They want a war, sorry. Because what's happened the last 2 years is they tried to genocide you, your children, your friends and family and everyone you know. The pharmaceutical company, the United Nations and these elite globalists, so-called, they just tried to genocide the entire human race with the poisonous vaccines. Okay, and now that the information is out, major studies from American universities and German universities with the CRISPR gene editing, okay, testing equipment, they can actually test the gene editing sequencing now. They have proven that a 3 trillion to 1 chance, okay, it's a 3 trillion to 1 that it's in nature, basically impossible, saying it's 100% synthetic. And they've proven that 3 of the gene sequences, okay, were man-made, they were synthetic, and they were patented by Moderna 3 years before COVID. So the bioweapon was 100% man-made in a lab and put in the vaccine to fucking kill you. And now the Pfizer documents have come out. Oh, they wanted 75 years to release them. Who the fuck do you think you are? 75 years to release the documents on what people are injecting themselves. Who the fuck even can say that? Oh, look, I murdered someone, but I'm not going to tell you for 75 years. Is that okay, Judge? How the fuck would that work in a normal civilized reality? Unbelievable they even tried that. I'm getting blown up here. I'm fucking furious about this. And the first few pages and the ones that have been leaked, the side effects is 7 fucking pages long. I'm just reading through it going, I don't even know what any of that shit is, but I don't want any of it. And what it proves is that they fucking knew. They knew it was 70 in there.
Died?
They knew the heart attack. They knew the nanotech. All of it. They knew.
Did you see how many died? It was like 1,295 or something on the testing. I glimpsed across one page. Please correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't officially looked at the whole document yet properly. But I glimpsed across and I'm pretty sure it said deaths associated with the trial. from the page I saw, it said 1,295 during the trial. During the trial, more than that died in Australia before they gave us the jab.
You fucking injected this thing this big, this thing that small went into you, and you fucking died. You get bitten by a black snake and you fucking survive it. And you injected this tiny thing and it fucking killed you. You can drink petrol and you'll get sick and you'll survive. You can drink glyphosate. You can fucking smash beers and have drugs for 50 years and you'll just fucking be a bit cooked. This tiny thing fucking kills people. And you got something out of it. At least you fucking had a maybe enjoyable time a couple of times. So you can imagine, to kill a human being, it has to be unbelievably toxic. It's death. It's death. And they actually cancelled all the animal trials because all the animals died. They just all fucking died, all of them. They're like, let's just cancel these trials because fucking motherfuckers are dying everywhere. Let's just cancel that shit. And then let's tell the judge, we're not going to release that shit for 75 years because everyone will be dead by then anyway. And then we'll just bring on World War IV and then we'll just say, hey, guys, look at World War IV. Don't worry about the fact we tried to kill you all off. Unfucking believable.
When I saw the 75 years to be requested to release documents, it's like, please, to anyone out there who's still on the fence, who says there's nothing to hide and this is safe and effective and people have nothing to worry about, why the fuck would you ask for 75 years? Not five, not 10, 75 years. So by the time you release it, everyone you've killed is all good and dead. And the statute of limitations would definitely have kicked in by then in terms of the evidence that you need to provide. And they'd have a security blanket, 75 years for safety data to be released on a drug that was primarily accepted under an emergency use authorization for a virus, which they said in the beginning was meant to kill 4% mortality rate. 4% mortality rate. And when it was first discovered, people were dying on the streets, in shopping centers, on the train. People were dying and being taken out in body bags everywhere. When this virus went anywhere else around the world, as in the environment of whatever this virus was meant to be, I'll use that term, right? We didn't see deaths happening in shopping centers and on the train and 80-year-old ladies that were working at the fruit stand selling fruit who've been completely healthy, right? We didn't see any of that. So please, to anyone who's on the fence, if a car manufacturer, let's put it this way, if, let's say Ford had created a vehicle and someone had a serious accident, and Ford turned around and said, now what happened was the car, as this is to explain the absolute just ridiculousness of this whole conversation we're having right now in terms of what they're asking for. Let's say a Ford vehicle is driving down the road, halfway down through the freeway, about 50 kilometers down, the car, the bolts come apart, the car splits in half during the driving, right? And one part of the family goes this way and one part of the family goes that way and they all get absolutely massacred. And then during the trial, Ford comes out and says, Your Honor, we would like 75 years to release these documents as we don't want people to lose faith in the integrity of our vehicles, because what it could do is set a precedent that people would be scared to get in vehicles anywhere across the world, Your Honor. And we can't have that because that would cause chaos. Because this is exactly the reason they asked to suppress that information, right? In order to ensure they don't have vaccine hesitancy. You take that same situation with that same explanation, with the same logic as to why they wanted that time to suppress that information and put it in any other scenario with any other product, and that would seem absolutely just atrocious and ridiculous beyond belief to even utter the words, ask for 75 years to release that type of information. But when it comes to fucking vaccines, for some reason, logic goes out the window and you can have these conversations and you can ask for these things and say, we don't want people to be hesitant. What do you mean you don't want people to be hesitant? You say that it's informed consent. You say that it's totally up to you. But at the same time, you don't want people to have all the information to be able to make an informed decision. This is corruption at no other level. And if anyone wants to understand one thing that's more corrupt than anything in the world right now, Big Pharma is more corrupt. And forget it. Your drug cartels, they're nothing. They're not killing. Their job is to give people things to enjoy themselves. They don't want their customers dead, right? So these guys are on another level of corruption and evil, mate, on another level. I'm done. I'm done with my rant.
No,
I'm done.
So good, dude. I love it when you put it so basically, and it's so ridiculous. It's like, oh my God, that is so fucking stupid. You know, it really does blow it out of the water on how it works. Now, if those car companies ask for that, the government in the same parallel would be like, well, we're going to ban all cars, and everyone driving a car has to then wear 5 seatbelts. And then when you get out of your car, you have to wear 10 seatbelts when you get home. That's what would have been the equivalent of the masks, the lockdowns, the carry-on, and all the rest of it. And just remember, there's not even any proof that it's transmissible, okay, by spit and all the rest of it. There's been no cases of it. Okay, there never was. So we had fake testing, lying from the media, disinformation, doctors on board with Big Pharma, because doctors are all cocksuckers.
Yeah.
All your local doctors down the road are a bunch of fucking parasites. They are literally part of the problem. They see people come in day out, day in, day out. The last fucking 50 years, they're watching people getting vaccinated and getting injured. They've been seeing it for 50 fucking years. It's like when you're a plumber, okay, and you've got some part that goes in the back of the fridge and it fucking blows up and it kills someone. You know about it. They ring you up and they go, it fucking blew up. So that's been going on for 50 years. And they've been like, oh, don't mind. They've been palming it off because they're getting their money. Oh, I get my money from Big Pharma. Oh, I'm going to get head jobs. That's what they're doing. They're sucking off Big Pharma because they're lowlifes and they love being doctors and thinking, oh, I'm saving the world. Great, look at me. I'm a doctor. Oh, yes, I'm going to heal you. How many people have you fucking healed? You've healed no one. You've handed out drugs that have killed people. You don't talk about nutrition. You don't talk about fasting, clean water, anything. It's literally, here's some drugs. Here you go. All right, and we'll cut, burn, poison, and radiate you when you have any sort of sickness or disease, which is a bioaccumulation of toxins, which they like to call cancer, and they like to probe the tumors and go, oh, what is this? Is it a tumor? Yeah, it's a fucking tumor. Of course it is. That's what happens when your body has toxins. It houses it. It contains it somewhere to protect your body from the toxins because you can't detox because your liver's not working. Your colon is full of shit and old stuff. That's what it is. It's literally a garbage bin which your body creates by itself. It's not cancer. Your body created it to protect you. That's why you have tumors. And what happens when you cut out a tumor? It's got a fucking cord which is connected to your lymphatic system, which is connected to the waste disposal system of your entire body. And then that starts spurting out all through your body. And when they do a biopsy, okay, oh, we're going to do a biopsy. We want to check what it is. Let's do a biopsy. Let's stab a hole in the side of my containment unit. Let's stab a hole. So all the toxins come out, leaks out through your body, and they go, look, sorry, we got the results back after 4 weeks. It's in your liver now. It's everywhere. We're going to have to give you radiation and chemotherapy, right? So it's a slippery slope downhill, which starts from our education around food when we're young. It's the indoctrination of the medical system, all these gutless doctors, absolutely gutless doctors. Now, I'm not talking about surgeons. I'm not talking about specialists who men bone together and they operate on you and things like that when you need them. There is actually incredible stuff in the Western medical system which can get you out of trouble when you crash your motorbike and when you have all these things that happen, right? But your everyday doctor down the road, your fucking little Freemason, little Satanist bastard down there who's handing out drugs and poisons to all these grandmas and his grandparents, and they're like, oh, I need my pills today, my heart medication. Oh, I need these things. Have 50 fucking pills a day, okay? We could get any one of those people if they're open to it, which they're not, because their mind is the sea of toxic soup, the programming, their conditioning, the fear. That generation, they're cooked, right? On most cases, they're cooked and they're finished. And we actually need the new generations to come through with healthy children, unvaccinated children, okay? Kids who are born the correct way through the vagina, not the C-sections, okay? If you have to have an emergency one, you have to. That's great, right? But the birthing process, it's a ceremony. It's crowning. The child is crowning and birthing and coming out. And the fluids inside the vagina actually go on the baby's face, which start the immune system of the body. It has to come out that way because that is the first start of the immune system. Our human bodies are the most incredible, brilliant, amazing things, and we should be living to about 1500 years. Our bodies are designed to live to 1500 years old, but we're bought in to the death urge. We're bought into the idea of we live to 80 years old or 85. Any more than that, we're a burden on the system. Any less, it's a bit young. And we actually embody this and think that's the way we live. But yet people were living thousands of years earlier on, before the fall of consciousness, before the loss of momentum in our consciousness, in our genes, in our the sequencing that happens in our body. We're actually operating at quite a low level now because we're being poisoned 50 ways to Christmas before we even leave our house. We've got to navigate through toxic parents who are having kids and they haven't done any detoxing, right? The parents have done no detoxing, and a lot of the toxins gets passed on via the womb, via the female. So if you have two kids, the first kid usually gets damaged more than the second kid because the first kid will take on a lot of toxins. Yeah, that's what happens. So you want to be detoxing, getting healthy before you have children. You want to be getting the heavy metals out, getting your gut biome working, getting your minerals and your nutrients up, okay, finding out what you're lacking. Very simple, exercising, flexible body, flexible mind, simple things. But anyway, I've digressed right off away from what we're talking about, but I feel it's necessary because this is why we have sleepwalkers in the world today. The reason why people are struggling is because the programming, the poisoning, the lies, and the disinformation. That's why when you talk about something like geoengineering, it's like, here we go. And all I can say is conspiracy. The only fucking word they know is the word conspiracy because they have nothing else to say. There's no conversation back and forth because they're not able to possibly think about the bigger ticket item. What's on the grander event? This is a two-dimensional level, like I said. 2D is watching the news and doing the mundane job and believing in your perception of reality, which is about that big, right? That's about that big, okay? Third dimensional is politics, what's going on the ground here, fight or flight response, survival, living, food, eating, you know, oh, what's religion? What's this? Then we start heading into fourth dimensional reality, which is a frequency band. You're not turning into some blue alien. It's a frequency band of thought. It's attracting beautiful situations in your life, beautiful people in your life, beautiful partners, better food, better health, better ideas, an expanded awareness. Okay, realizing that maybe the government's a bit corrupt. Maybe this is happening. Maybe I should read good books. Maybe I shouldn't vaccinate my children. And fifth dimensional on thinking is literally the higher mind. It is the beyond that. It's the living to 1500 years. It's the, do we actually need to eat food to survive? Can we actually live on sunshine, prana and chi? This life force which is throwing through our bodies in this world at all times. You know, so we are making this giant shift, Thanos, but we are seeing this massive splitting in society right now. And this flood has been a purging. It's a massive purging on all levels because people have lost everything they thought was important. Oh, my possessions. Your possessions, they possess you in many cases. If you drive through the streets of Mullum now, the people's stuff they got outside their houses, it's fucking junk. It's all fucking junk. It needs to go in the bin. What you need is a bed to sleep in if you want to sleep in the bed and your necessities. And the rest of the time you should be out there creating, learning, growing, being with children, being with people, being with old people, learning from them, helping them. Because when you die, all these possessions don't come with you. You don't even take your body with you. You're just renting your body and that goes as well. All you have is your experience. All you have when you're laying on your deathbed is, what did I do in this world? Did I make a fucking impact? Did I have a go? Did I have fun? Was I laughing? Was I singing? Was I playing? My dog nearly died last week. During the flood, the worst part of the flood, my dog was poisoned a few days before. And big story around that. I had four healers working on him. And it was probably the most transformative 48 hours I've had. And I did more processing of my life in that 48 hours than I did in the last 6 months, because I realized, like, hey, how much more time could I be spending with it? What is actually important right now? What would my life be like without it? And I spent every minute with him, watching his every breath, hoping he wasn't going to die, because he was literally about to die. He had this fucking egg, the size of an egg, under his tongue, and that was his gland that had swollen up from the swelling, and he couldn't even close his mouth because his egg was so large underneath his tongue. Because his heart and his liver and all his organs were shutting down from the poison, and the gland had swollen up and I was trying to process the toxins. So I had 48 hours of just squirting. It was glycosate poisoning and also other stuff, which I won't mention on here. We're talking attacks from other levels. And I literally had to get a syringe and this big long thing and squirt chlorophyll down his mouth and squirt water into the back of his mouth. And he didn't even have the function to be able to even swallow it. He just sat there looking at me. It was just pouring out the side of his mouth and he couldn't even swallow, you know. It was the most gut-wrenching 48 hours. But that pushed me into a new way of thinking, the appreciation of my dog. And, like, it's, it gets to that point where you're like, fuck, was I sitting on the computer too much? Could I have been out walking him more? Could I have been hugging him more? Yeah, brushing him, all these little things. And they're not the regrets you want to have when you want to get older. When you want to get older, you want to be like, I fucking nailed it. I killed it. I told that girl I loved her. I fucking made up with that dude. I said, hey, I'm fucking sorry. You know, we had an argument 10 years ago. Like, I just want to say I'm sorry. I fucking love you. These are the rights we need to get, the wrongs we need to get right on. And these are the things we need to clear. So it's a purging of the possessions. It's the purging of the spiritual and the internal cleansing. It's like the water represents clearing, cleansing, movement, getting rid of it. Now, whether it was weather modification or not, doesn't matter. It's symbology of what needs to happen. People need to get back to the basics. They need to come back to the heart. They need to remember what's important. The technology and all these things is disconnecting us from being human. And this, what's happening here in this valley right now, with all the people coming together, sharing food, banding together, sharing generators, checking out people, got our CV radios, we're talking, we're working together, we're fixing the roads. This is the most incredible, amazing experience I've been through ever. And I'm fucking loving it. I've got a generator out there going, man, I've got to put fuel in it every hour. We're probably not going to get power on for another month or two. We won't be able to drive out of here for another few weeks. You know, we are stuck in here. We are locked in. But yet, what it's doing is people are leaving and people are coming together. We had 50 people walk up today with jerry cans, food, backpacks. They just trudged 10, 15 Ks in, knocking on everyone's houses. Are you all right? What do you need? And we're out in the street taking photos and hanging out and talking. And it was just the most high vibe, beautiful thing in amongst logs, trees, roots, rocks, boulders, houses missing, chaos. And we're just in there shining just for the backpack, talking to real people, you know, handing some food out. And I was like, oh my God, the simplicity of this is fucking mind boggling. So it's been a journey, Thanos. It really has been up here at the moment.
Mate, when you discussed about your dog, to people who don't know the relationship between Nate and his dog, mate, and Nate's dog, Moo, yeah, that dog's just, I don't know how to describe Moo. He's just the ultimate example of majestic. That dog, in my eyes, is just majestic on another level, and he's just got this presence about him, and I bloody love that dog. And to hear that you were in that type of a state and you would have felt completely hopeless in terms of helpless in terms of what you were able to do and provide, that would have been one of the most traumatic experiences that you would have had to go through in terms of being able to do something. And you almost had to just let, you know, have an attitude of faith that the dog was going to be okay and just go with whatever the healers were doing there, because there was no choice in the matter, right? So that's crazy.
No choice. And I was locked in. Like, I wouldn't have been able to go anywhere for 10 days. So my dog would have been dead and I've been in there for 10 days by myself. No power, no communication, all that. So it was a heavy situation, and at the start I felt this full energy come up on me, and I was pacing around the house and I was like, fuck. And then my friend messaged me and she goes, Nate, a message did come through. A few messages were coming through, because when the rain hits a satellite, it blocks the reception and then you get a little bit here and there. And she said, Nate, she's a psychic medium. She said, be strong for him. She goes, he needs you to be strong now, you know. And then I really just stepped into, you know, this space of like caring and loving and being there and looking after him and, you know, just constantly with him 24/7, you know. And then I was like, this is how I should be all the time. You know, I should be more attentive to him and certain aspects and, you know, and things like that. So it really humbled me, and it really brought me into an understanding of like, fuck, I don't even know myself without my dog. You know, it's been such a journey. I was like, I don't actually even know who I am without him at this point in my life, because we're a duo. I'm never lonely. I live out in the middle of nowhere by myself. And yet when I've got my dog with me, I'm never lonely at all. People are like, don't you get lonely out of here? I'm like, no, I fucking love this. I'm just like, if I want to go for a walk at 3 o'clock in the morning, he's like, let's go. He's keen. If I want to go for a swim in the middle of the night, he's like, yep, I'm down every time, you know. I love that. He's there. So then thanks so much to all the people who on Telegram, a lot of people put these beautiful messages out and sent love and prayers. And it was, yeah, it was really special. That was that, the floods, my dog, the road's gone, the slides, everything that's happened, this culmination of just incredible community banding together stronger than ever. This is actually going to make our community even stronger. I can see it really being a positive now. Everything they're throwing at us, Phanos, now, we're just taking it on board and getting stronger. And humans seem to shift when they're pushed. You know, you push someone against the wall who might not fire up, they will fire up. Like, I've got to now. And now we're kind of up against the wall. People are stepping up into their sovereignty and their power. And they're like, do we need council? Do we need government? Hey, how can I actually have an off-grid solar setup and not rely on the grid when it goes down? Now, there's a real stitch-up, Phanos, that's been going on. These motherfuckers who have been building these solar setups for the last 10 years, they've been doing these hybrid systems, right, where you run your solar during the day, it runs for a bit during night, and then when your batteries run out, the power cuts back in from the grid. Great, right? But guess what? When the power from the grid goes down, the solar system does not work, even if you have batteries. So what? All these people who thought they had an off-grid solar system, it's a fucking stitch-up, mate, so you still rely on the government. You either need a full off-grid setup. They don't have one. They don't have one. Oh, it's a scam. So what's happened is all these people now have got solar setups which are doing fucking nothing because the grid is not on and has to send a signal to the grid. Nothing.
Has to be hybrid.
They've got useless solar setups. Yep. Absolutely useless. And I spoke to my tech mates and they explained the whole situation. I was like, wow, what a stitch up, you know? So it's once again, it's a lesson, you know, get yourself sorted. If you've got a spring in your property, use a water turbine, use a wind turbine, get your own off-grid batteries. There's plenty of things you can do to support yourself, even if it's a small setup, you know? So yeah, it's been big awakenings for a lot of people in here. And a lot of people had generators that they've had sitting around their garages for ages. Couldn't start them, wouldn't start, old fuel, all of this, you know. So you need to be on top of your gear when you're out here. The first thing I did was go through my cupboards, which I always buy like the world's ending anyway. I just buy way too much food. I've always been doing that. Plus, I got 4 tons of emergency food anyway. I bought that many years ago. I was a bit early, but. And the first thing I did is I went through my cupboards. And I was like, all right, let's see what I got. So I did a spring clean. There's a fucking hole in the bottom of the cupboard. A rat's come through. Had a little nibble on about 10 packets of like chips and things that, you know, food. And it didn't eat them. It just nibbled a hole in it. So they're all stale as fuck, right? So I'm like, okay, that's great. Pull them out. And then bunches of pasta, he's nibbled through that too. I'm like, okay, so he's ruined pretty much a week's worth of food straight off the bat, you know? You should know this shit, right? I should know what's in my fucking cupboards. That's what happens when you're living by yourself and you haven't got a woman by your side. That wouldn't happen. Even a female in the house. I wouldn't have moldy shit in the fridge either. You know, so there's all these little things that happen, you know, luckily.
Not necessarily. Let's.
Not if she was a wog woman or a Greek woman.
There's certain, you know, there's asterisks to that conversation in terms of if you had a woman in the house, that wouldn't happen. In this last 30 years, mate, you know, in terms of just how the equality and all the other stuff, you know, I can work now and I can, you know, and this is completely off the subject, but I dated a woman once and in the kitchen, I shit you not, there was a tea towel that said the kitchen just came with the house. I know there's a kitchen here, but it just came with the house. Right, she had an apartment in the city. But that's what it says. She said, there is a kitchen here, but it came with the house. As in, she doesn't step foot in the kitchen, right? So anyway, that's another story altogether. But, you know, there has to be an asterisk there, right? No, depends, right? It depends on the individual and the individual you're with. But I want to touch base on, you talked about doctors. And I think this is something that really needs to be talked about. There is health advice and medical advice. They're two very, very different things. And I like to use, we'll go back to the car because car analogies are easy to understand. Health advice is, hey, every time you hear a tick, make sure you top up the oil. Health advice is, hey, make sure you check the radiator. Health advice is, hey, make sure if you hear a noise, you check it, right? Get it looked after. That's health advice. Medical advice is, I think you've cracked the head, and what you're going to need to do is we're going to need to take it in, and we're going to redo the head. So we're going to need to pull the engine apart. We're going to need to put new pistons in, right? This is I'm trying to put it into comparison so people can understand. Or medical advice is your car has been diagnosed with, a dodgy diff, right? They're giving you mechanical advice on something that can't be fixed. Usually, when do you go to the doctor? You don't go to the doctor when you're all good. You go to the doctor because something's fucked. And there's a huge difference between how the two operate. Someone who gives you health advice would say, eat clean food, drink plenty of water, get sunlight, make sure you take in the correct vitamins and minerals. Stay away from all the packaged stuff as much as possible. Eat natural plant-derived things that come out of the earth and things that are pretty much just straight from the animal if you're going to eat that type of stuff. Stay away from the processed stuff, right? That's health advice. Go to the gym, train, or run, or scuba dive, or make sure your body is pumping blood and you're constantly moving. That there is health advice. There's a big difference, and I think people really need to start grasping what the difference is between health advice and medical advice. Medical advice is the mechanic saying your car's fucked and you need work done. Health advice is you staying out of the mechanic shop. They're two very, very different things.
Yes, and I would take it one step further to say that medical advice, Thanos, is them coming in, looking at your car, and it's actually a few things they could fix, and they go, we need to actually put a new motor in it. We're actually going to change the head gasket now, even though it actually just needs the rocker cover fixed. That's probably more closer to the medical system health advice, because they want to fucking cut you open, they want to slice you up, and they want to radiate you, because many of the doctors out there, I would say they are assassins.
Let's go one further.
Assassins are actually medical doctors.
Let's go one further with what you're saying. Now, the government has turned around and told all the mechanics, if there is a slight noise, you are not to tell the people to check their oil, and you are to tell them that they must they must redo the head. Even if you have a, you know, within your professional opinion, you believe that you could remedy the situation by just checking the oil and the water levels and adding oil to the motor, you are to redo the head, and that's the only solution to that problem. That is a perfect analogy to comparative in terms of a mechanic dealing with your car and what's happening right now with that fucking vaccine situation.
And you can only get it fixed at a certified government mechanic, which will cost you five times the amount.
Yes, and if any mechanic is to speak... And if any mechanic is to speak out and give their observations and their professional opinion, no matter how long they've been in the industry, of whether they believe that vehicle can be fixed, the motor can be fixed by any other small operation, they are to be keep their opinions to themselves. Otherwise, they will lose their ability to practice as a mechanic. Nailed it.
And they'll do weather modification on their house and flood them out.
You see how ridiculous it sounds when you talk about what they're doing with vaccines and what they're doing to the doctors now. With any other industry, if you took that same and you put it within any other industry, it would seem absolutely ridiculous and ludicrous, and it would be an abomination on people's intelligence and an insult to people's intelligence to do that.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
Agreed. And this is why we need healthy, smart, sovereign people. This is the thing. You can't trick people who are sovereign. When you're sovereign, the way you talk to the police. And sovereign just means in every level, with your health, with your food, your water, your mindset, the way you speak, the way you hold yourself, the way you deal with police today, the way you deal with council. It's like you fucking know who you are. And they can't trick you and coerce you, so they'll go trick and coerce someone else. And they're hoping, they want to have a bunch of uninformed people so they can get away with it. Because people are realizing all the legal system's a bit fraudulent, all the council and the government, oh, they're using our birth certificates to trafficking us for hundreds of millions of dollars. All they're catching on now, the banking system's fraudulent. That's why they want to censor the internet. That's why they want to bring in this artificial intelligence bots, so you can't even ring your mate in Russia and go, bro, what's happening over there? They don't want you having any connection with any other countries. They don't want you connecting to other people, being able to hear lives. They don't want you having a large following, because people like saying, if me and Thanos right now had 1 million followers each, we could literally turn this country upside down. If we had 1 million followers each, just us alone, we could organize all the protests. We could tell you what the fuck's going on. We could destroy and decimate the mainstream news. Now, that's 100%. What I used to do on my Facebook. I only had 40,000 followers, but I had a whole group on there, and I would say, guys, get onto this page, and I would message and say, and I'll start tagging and smashing and destroying the mainstream news. Now, the mainstream news has deleted their comment boxes because they get so fucking hammered in the comment sections now that they just turn it off, because everyone's like, fake news, grubs, Zionists, puppets, bullshit, bullshit, right? So they've gotten rid of it. Now, I used to actually destroy the mainstream narrative by myself with only 40,000 followers. 40,000. And the mainstream news has got fuck all, because no one cares about them, and I was obliterating them. So they do not want people to have big followings. They don't want you to be connected with your neighbors and your friends and the people down the road. They want you to not know your neighbors. They want you to hate your neighbors. They want you to spy on them and then say, there's three people in the backyard during COVID. You're only supposed to have two. I'm calling the fucking Stasi COVID police. They want you to do that. So do the opposite. Go over there and say, how you doing? Just so you know, you can have as many people in your backyard as you want. I'm all good. Then next time they'll come over and go, oh, fucking thank you so much. You know, we didn't know what, you know, this is how you create a rapport with people.
Yeah.
And you gain their trust and you inform them. Then you drop some seeds. Hey, would you like some food? Come over for dinner. Open the fence up. We'll put a door on the fence and we'll just fucking, the kids can play and we'll hang out. Then we'll do it at the next house. Then you have a community of people and you can't be tricked and you can't be coerced. And when something happens, you go out and you talk to people on the street and you go, what do you reckon? The mainstream news says this, but I ain't seeing that shit anywhere. And then that's how we stop this. Mainstream news ends. People band together in community. Muslim, Christian, black, white, fucking Jewish, whatever you are, it doesn't matter. If you're not part of the 0.00001%, you're part of the depopulation agenda. Okay? It doesn't matter if you're making $350K a year and you're a lawyer or you're this or you're that. You're a fucking puppet. And when the time doesn't comes, they're going to toss you to the wolves. It's nothing. It means you're a nothing. Puppet. Unless you're making hundreds of millions and trillions a year, you're a fucking puppet and you're on our side, actually. So stop the ego. Stop thinking because you got a 100 grand Mercedes, you're better than the person down the road who has a Corolla. You got fucking nothing. And a flood will come through and you'll have nothing. And then you'll be humbled. And then you'll be talking to the person with the Corolla going, hey, have you got any food? And they're like, yeah, of course, brother. Here you go. Then maybe you'll be humbled. This is what's going on now. It's the humbling of the human race. It's a realization that no one's better than anyone. Just treat people the way you want to be treated. If you're an asshole, you're going to attract assholes in your life. It's fucking pretty simple. We know about this shit. So why aren't we practicing it every day? Live every single day as if you're going to die tomorrow, and then wake up and do it all over again. Just have one life every day. That's the way I see it. Get out of bed, do the best you fucking can that day, then go to sleep and wake up and try and be better. What could I have done better the day before? All right, cool. I'm going to do that and learn each day. And it's very like simple then. And that way, with your relationships, with your girlfriends and things like that, people get, oh, I feel trapped, I feel this or whatever. It's like, hey, just have every day like it's your last. Love them like you're not going to see them tomorrow. Have the feeling that I had in my heart that I'm not going to see my dog, and I'm going to cherish every breath that he has. That's the only way we can truly be present in the moment and not be caught in the future. Oh, what if there's a landslide? Cool. What if fucking this happens? What if that happens? What if nothing fucking ever happens and you spend your whole life worrying and you get to the age of 70 and you go, I didn't do anything. I didn't speed in my car. I didn't do a burnout. I didn't go skydiving. I didn't go dancing. I was too embarrassed to go swimming at the waterhole because I was embarrassed with my body. Fuck, and what a waste of time and energy that is. What a waste of fucking time. And that's the one thing you never get back, guys, is time. So don't fucking waste it, eh? Stop swearing, fan. I'll stop swearing.
You should honestly take these moments where you have these moments where you just smash out things like that. You should take what you just said there, right? And I'm telling you, just create it into a short and put it out there on the internet, bro, because that was brilliant. And just put it out. Those things there are little gems. You can't waste those little gems anymore because you've done it a few times where you've had these gems of these 2.5 hour conversations we have, which are amazing. There's these little pockets of, I mean, just absolute gold, right? And those little bits of gold, man, they need to get out there and everyone needs to hear them. And that what you just said there, I don't know what time stamp this was, but take it and turn it into a little gem and get it out there. Because I think if people really looked at their partner like they're never going to see them again and they're not trapped and it's not like, oh, fuck, how am I going to deal with this person for the next 80 years? It's like, what if they die tomorrow? How differently would people look at their partners? Because everyone takes everything for granted, right? And it doesn't matter how much you have, you take it for granted, right? And people think, oh, if I had $100 million, I'd be set, I'd be all good. No, you'd take it for granted. And then you'd be like, oh, this shitty marble bed, I want one from solid gold. You know, the guys down the road's got one from solid gold. Why can't I have a bed out of solid gold, right? You know, Doris down the road's got a bloody toilet with a marble seat. What are we doing here with stainless steel? What are we, peasants, right? Never happy. So I love what you put out there because you should. And it really hit me because we should really just live like there's not going to be a tomorrow. And get the most out of every day because you don't know when the end of your story is coming. So I want to touch base on this. So this just shows the level of indoctrination in the world. I did a video today where I spoke about how COVID took away our rights and climate change is taking away our property. And it was quite involved, and I spoke about, you know, the media being a monopoly, being controlled by BlackRock and Vanguard, and it's all one big, and it's all about depopulation, and the billionaires of the world have gotten together with their little summits and said, we've got this many resources. If we don't do anything soon, we're going to lose all of our, and we're all going to die anyway. We all need to eradicate these people because, you know, let's be honest, there's only really 300 people that really control the world, and the rest of them are just, you know, fooled into their bullshit agenda, as in terms of the 1%. Even some of them are fooled. They're not all part of the main squad, yeah. Right? And I did this live today. Now, listen to this response. She goes, you've got to be one of the dumbest imbeciles I've ever seen, Fanos. Listen to this. This is indoctrination. If you believe the government is capable of capable of orchestrating this shit, you give too much credit. So she's obviously watched the whole video and it's intrigued her, but she's just gone on real angry afterwards. Like, how dare you fucking attack my sense of reality? On top of your stupid theories, so many of you would have already been onto it. If you understand groups, which you should, there are always people who turn on each other. This you should know firsthand. So there is no way they could keep all of this quiet. And again, you give government way too much credit.
Whoa. Fuck. What does she look like? Where does she live?
I obviously hit a nerve, right? And it gives me more of a reason to want to put out those videos because if she's putting down that response, she's thinking about it. And that's her defensive response. That's her, how dare you attack my sense of reality? This guy can't be right about this. I need to squash this right now. There's no way the government would be able to do that. There's no way. Right? Yeah. Oh, dude, I need to get a copy of that book.
You should find her address and I'll send it to her. She can have it. I don't need it.
I was like, can I send you a gift? I just laughed at the message.
I'll pay for it. I'll send it to CBD as well.
I just laughed at the message. I just laughed at it. Like, yeah. I didn't even give a response because she's cooked beyond belief and she's definitely convinced that there's no way the government would hurt me. There's no way they could orchestrate something like that. Really? There's no way.
That's the postage stamp block of reality that David Icke talks about, right? That postage stamp version of reality, you know? And that's 100%. At the moment, currently the people we're living with, bro. So they are among us, and they showed themselves who they were because they wore masks, they complied, they logged in, they checked in, they stood away from you in the supermarket, and they've got fear in their eyes. And unfortunately, that's the reality that they're going to live in. And that's a two-dimensional reality. We're not, that's not a 3D reality, because they're not even actually aware of the politics happening on Earth, let alone the multi-dimensional reality we're living in that goes off world. When you get to the pyramid, you know, you start working your way out the layers of the pyramid, the control structure, and you get to the end, the black priests and the 300 families and all this crap. Once you start getting towards the top, the pyramid actually just flips over, and then you enter into the adults room. And the adults room is multidimensional. It's non-physical. You know, you can feel the sun burning your arms, but you can't see it. And we can only see a small percentage of the visible light spectrum. We know there's non-physical beings interfacing with us, whether you call them angels, gods, jinn, demons, spirits, ghosts, they are here. And these people, these so-called globalists, they just spent a couple of $1 trillion building CERN because they want to rip a hole in the fourth, fifth, and sixth dimension and try and bring their God back in. Trillions of dollars. The Vatican, hundreds of millions of dollars they invested in, let's just fucking fire some particles at each other to see what they do. Oh, yeah, they're going to spend that much money on a science project and go, it did this. Awesome. You know, the stupidity around it, the times, the dates, the numbers, the gematria, the way they work on anomalous energies, black magic, full moons, all these things, 9/11, all the bombings. It's all in the time signature. We're living in a very esoteric world. This is a thing. We've got to be thinking fifth dimensional. Why do they worship our gods? Why do they do skull and bones? Why do they do ceremonies? Why are they burning kids? Why are they sacrificing children and eating their blood? It's because it goes off world. We're feeding an off world agenda where these humans are connected to an entity which has hijacked their vessel, their soul has stepped over, and they're being controlled by literally a non-physical being. And that's why we actually think we're not living with humans, because literally we're not. They look like
that's
humans.
That's the black and white titles.
They act like humans, but they're not.
That's the checker pattern. The checker pattern everywhere you go represents the multidimensional. That's why the Freemasons have the checker pattern on the floor. But that's why that same checker pattern, they have put it through all of the authoritative symbols out there and all of the so-called supportive services we think we have, like the ambulance has the checker pattern on it. The police cars have a checker pattern on them. It is the hidden language that shows, hey, don't worry, we're in the club too, right? And those who have the knowledge to see can see, and those who have the ears to hear will hear, but everyone else won't notice. Mm. And these bastards, the way they operate everything, right? It's all by design in terms of the symbology's there so they can see it. And it's exactly like that movie They Live, where they see one world and we see another, and everything's got to do with symbolism. But very interesting you said about the Vatican. Anyone out there who says the Vatican's all about, you know, religion and whatever else and, you know, Christianity and blah, 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 the Vatican paid for one of the most expensive telescopes ever created, and the name of the telescope was Lucifer. It's a dual lens telescope. You don't believe me, I don't give a shit, go and look it up, you'll find it yourself. The Vatican paid for one of the most expensive dual lens telescope setups in the world, I believe, if not the most expensive, and it's called Lucifer. Obviously Lucifer's an acronym, because, you know, they like to hide everything with, it's just an acronym. But out of all the names, you could have named it. You named it Lucifer, right? Yeah. As an example. So to anyone out there who's going, the Vatican's the head of Christianity. No, mate, they're the head. They are the snake's head of everything to do with this underworld, mate. They are everything. All roads lead to Rome. That saying isn't there because it's just a saying. It's because it's their arrogant way of putting forward, hey, it's actually true. All roads lead back to Rome.
Yeah.
It's not a metaphor. It's fucking real.
It's mocking.
Everything we think we know about life and our legality system and the legal system and everything to do with our, you know, the what's it called? The What's it called where we're at sea? The maritime law, all roads lead to Rome.
Oh, yeah.
I think we should end it there, I reckon.
we could
talk for hours.
I think it's morning.
Morning. Yeah, we're going to run out of audio. Let's start again. Hey,
I've got another few hours.
I've revamped the podcast, Nate. Completely brand new setup, new looking show, cool. Super, super modern. Let's do a show. Let's do it Monday next week.
What day
can
is
you
today?
Do that with your situation?
I've got Sasha on tomorrow morning. I've got fuel. I've got two jerry cans of fuel. I'm borrowing my mate's e-bike. So I've got this e-bike that has 100-kilometer range. So I'm going to be able to go up a dirt track and head into town and get supplies and shit that way. So I reckon the next 2 weeks we'll dig ourselves out, or maybe even less, enough to be able to get beastie four-wheel drives through. And, I'll probably get my mate to come up and put a solar setup on my place and just so I haven't got generators running the whole time. It's funny because there's two things that happened. One was, I was going to do the solar setup about a month ago, but I was like, no, I'm not going to spend 20 grand when we're working on other things that can produce energy, which I won't talk about. So I was like, we'll do that first, and then I'll do the solar later if it doesn't work. And then the other thing in my mind, I was like, all right, I'm going to bring my bus up the driveway and park it there just in case something happens. So I have solar. So I was going to drag it up there and tow it up because it's very steep. And I ended up leaving in town, and I was planning to bring it up after the storm was over. Though just the storm, I'll bring it up later when the levels go down. So I would have had my bus parked there. I would have had full solar power and everything the whole time. I'm just like, oh, man. And instead, it copped a bit of water down the bottom. Not much. It's up just below the floor, which is pretty good. So, the intuition was like, dig the gutters out with an excavator, bring the bus up and put your solar on. Three things that I had last week. It was in my mind. I knew it was coming, you know, and I just didn't act quickly. I got caught up in Sydney, a love story, and stayed there for a bit longer. And anyway, here I am today. We're all good. We're alive. It's good.
I'm surprised you're still able to do a live, mate. It's amazing.
Well, I've got satellite internet and I've got a generator. So I've got my generator running in, just the basics, got the fridge on, and I turn it off at nighttime and turn the fridge on in the morning. What's satellite internet, which is perfect because as long as you power it up, it's setting the signal down. So I'm actually pretty lucky, yeah.
Wicked, man.
Thanks for coming on, dude.
Oh, dude, I love having a chat with you, man. Our conversation always flows and we've always got good people on. And it's been an amazing chat, not a dull moment, to be honest.
And what have you got coming up, bro? Anything coming up that we can promote and people can jump on, whatever?
Oh, my all new and improved podcast, man. I wonder if I could show people the all new and improved looking, because you can do screen share with this, can't you?
Yeah, I think I saw it and it looked good. I was like, fuck. I was like, I need to step up, man. I look, my stuff's fucking rubbish. I record it when the car, the exhaust on, bumping. Yours are like schmick as, eh?
This is the all new and improved podcast, guys. That'll be me on the left and that'll be my guest on the right. And that's what it'll look like when you have stuff going on, man. But so Gareth, 8 p.m. Thursday, Gareth, guys. Right. Yeah. Nice, 8 p.m. dude. Thursday, man. So kicking it off. And Nurse Kate Shemarani will be on. How do I cancel it? Nurse Kate Shemarani will be on Tuesday night. So we've got pretty much a UK setup next week. Looking forward to it, man. But looking to get a few more guests on, but that's the new setup, man. It looks amazing.
Excellent. Thanks, dude. Fucking love your time and love all the hard work you've been putting in, man. You're one of the few people that are just, you're so genuine. There's so many people out there in the movement at the moment, and I'm just like, fuck. So it's good to have a few real solid people around. And these are not like interviews. They're just like us having a laugh, man. Running around and, you know, so good.
Gotta do a pop chat.
So what are you doing with the screen now? How do I fucking anchor this shit? Yes. I've got a bottle of mezcal in the fridge. I've got tequila up there, so that's going to go downhill very quickly, though.
Next week, we should.
We're
Wednesday night next week, let's do a pub chat where me and Nate get, I don't know, 4 or 5 beers, right? And we start off with one and then allow the conversation to go and progressively get worse as we have our 5 beers. I think it would be interesting, and why not? And the media will love it. The media will get a hold of it and say conspiracy theorists have completely gone mad and drinking on set, and they'll find some way to spin it and make us look worse. But you know, any publicity is good publicity. All right, all good, man. Thank you very much. And we should have a quick chat when we're done with this, just in private as well. Cheers.
Yeah, cool. Okay, guys. Thanks for listening. See you later. Bye.
See you, guys. See you later. Thank you.